you would tonight, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of the Gospel of John, chapter number 12. The Gospel of John, chapter number 12. And we will begin reading in verse number 32. John chapter 12, verse number 32. The Bible reads, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must first be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, "He hath blinded their eyes, hardened their hearts, and that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, that I should heal them." These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, and spake of him. That's reading down through verse number 41. We have here in this 12th chapter of John, Jesus telling those with him that the hour was soon approaching and the hour was coming that he must die. He had told his disciples that on many occasions, and they didn't understand that. As we read here tonight, there are those, as he told that to, they said, "Well, we have read, and we know and understand that the Son of Man, or that the Christ will abide forever." And they asked the Lord the question, "Why are you telling us then that you must be lifted up?" And of course, they knew exactly what Jesus was talking about when he used that term, "lifted up." And they understood that he meant crucifixion. They understood that he meant that there was a day coming soon that he was going to die, and that he was going by the way of the cross. Jesus had told them this on many occasions. He had told them of the resurrection, but the Scripture says that the Greeks among them did not understand. The Scripture tells us that the Jews did not understand also, for those things had been hidden from them. And the Bible says the Lord tells them and gives them instruction here that they are to walk in the light. They have no longer do they have to walk in darkness, because when you're walking in darkness, you don't know where you're going. You just don't have any sense of direction. And he says, "But while you have light, believe that light." And then he says, "These things spake Jesus, and departed, and hid himself from them." He had made these statements, and then all of a sudden he's just gone from them to sort of mull over the things that he has said. And he had done this many miracles, and he'd done all those things that had been given him. But yet the Bible says they did not believe. They would not accept. And then it tells us here, verse 38, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. That is a particular passage that given to us in many places in the New Testament, where the Bible says that these things must be fulfilled because they've already been spoken. One of the great things about our Bible, one of the great things about the Scriptures, is that when it is spoken in the Old Testament and revealed, then it will be fulfilled in the New Testament or somewhere yet in the future. And so the Lord has given them all these things, and he's done these miracles, and yet they believe not. And the reason they didn't believe was in reference here to the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, that his words might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And that's Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. And Isaiah asked the question of the Lord, "Who's believing us? Who's hearing us?" Well, it wasn't any different for Isaiah than it was the Lord. It wasn't any different for the Lord than it was Isaiah. He gave them the report. He gave them the message, and yet they still did not believe. But then it tells us here that in verse number 41, then are these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. The book of Isaiah is one of my favorite books of the Bible. I guess my favorite book is Ruth. I thoroughly enjoy reading the book of Ruth. I love the book of Esther. Those are books that you can read just sort of in your leisure, and it's a story in a story form. I enjoy that. But I guess when it comes to the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah may be my favorite of all of them because of some many things that Isaiah gives to us. Now remember here, the Scripture says that in verse number 41, Isaiah spoke these things when he saw his glory. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up one day and in the year that King Uzziah died there in chapter 6. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 6 that he said, I saw also the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphims, each one having six wings. And it gives us all the details. In verse number 5, Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell amidst people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So Isaiah was a man of the Old Testament that was able to see the Lord and to see the King. And he was the one that was able to hear his voice. He was one that was able to move according to the Word of God. And Isaiah becomes a very important character in the Old Testament and in the prophecies of the Lord. Isaiah has so many, many things. Isaiah 53, we'll look at it in a little bit, but Isaiah 53 has been called the little gospel of the Old Testament because it has such great references concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, and those things related. But if you'll study the book of Isaiah, you'll find that it can be studied in reference to and can be studied along with the entire Bible. We know that the Bible has 66 books, and when you study the book of Isaiah, you'll find it has 66 chapters. You'll find the first part of it has dealings with things that are sort of along the Old Testament line. Of course, our Old Testament books are given to us, and then the New Testament books are given. We have that division. But if you'll look in Isaiah, you'll find there's a division just along the same line there in the book of Isaiah between chapter 39 and 40. You'll find there's so many things that relate. When you get to the latter part of Isaiah, it's talking about the coming of the Lord, just like the book of Revelation does in the New Testament. So there's some correlation there between the book of Isaiah and the entire Bible that we have before us. But I want us to look tonight and just see a little bit about in the ministry, in the life of this old prophet Isaiah that was used so much of God. I want us to look at some four or five things that God permitted him to see. Some things that God showed him. Isaiah, the Scripture tells us that Isaiah said these things and knew this when he saw his glory and spake of him. So we know from the New Testament that Isaiah saw some things. We know from that passage of Scripture that Isaiah was taken from by the Lord and was revealed to him some different important things. Let's notice in Isaiah chapter number 7, these of course are not anything new. These are things that we can rehearse in our ears time and time again to realize and maybe look at it a little differently at what the Lord permitted Isaiah to see. First of all, I believe we can find in Isaiah chapter 7 that Isaiah saw a sign. He saw something that would point him to a knowledge maybe that nobody else had. He came to an understanding, and I'm not sure he understood all that was related to this because of just the inspiration of the Scriptures. But the Bible says that Isaiah said in verse 14, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now here we find that Isaiah was able to see this sign of the virgin birth. He was able to see the sign of this woman that would be bringing forth a child, and that she would not have known a man. She had no relationship with a man. And the Scripture says here that a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and then he's given the name, Emmanuel, God with us. And so Isaiah is very blessed of the Lord to see this sign from heaven. Now let me say tonight that we are not saved because, well, have to qualify this statement. We are not saved by the birth of Jesus Christ. We're saved by the death of the Lord. But I'll tell you what, if he had been born like any other person, his death would have been insufficient. If he had been born not of a virgin, then he would have been a man that had sin like you and I have. He would have had that Adamic nature. He'd had those thought patterns and those ways, and he'd have had those actions that would be just like us. And so therefore, he wouldn't be not the Messiah. But the Scripture says here that the Lord was going to give him a sign. And the sign of the Messiah was that he would be born of a virgin. And Isaiah got to see that. Isaiah got to write that down. Isaiah was the one that the Lord revealed that to here in his book, in his passage. And while this birth maybe is not the instrument that by which the Lord uses to save us, but to deny the virgin birth is to declare one's unbelief. To deny the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ by way of the Virgin Mary is to deny, literally deny, the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And so these folks that are running around tonight and they talk about all religious and how good they are and the things do, but when you pin them down and they don't believe in the miracles and they don't believe in the virgin birth and they don't believe in the things of the Lord, you can just write it down. They are unbelievers. And Isaiah was given by the Holy Spirit of God, was given this sign, and he saw that one day there would be a young lady come forth. She would be a virgin. She would conceive miraculously. And we find the counterpart in the New Testament as Mary and Joseph were espoused to each other. They were what we would call engaged, but it's a whole lot more detail than just the Western engagement. They were espoused. They were literally were going to come together. But before they had consummated the marriage, they find out that she's with child. They find out that she has, according to everybody else and according to the philosophies and according to science, she would have had to have a relationship with a man. But they forget about what God said. God said, a virgin shall conceive. God can do anything He pleases, and God can do that. And that's the miraculous birth of our Lord. And Isaiah was privileged to see that and to write it down. No wonder the Scripture there where we read tonight in John chapter 12, these things said Isaiah when he saw His glory and he spake of Him. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, he realized some things. And he looked at he said, I saw the Lord. And then he said, I saw myself. And said, when I saw myself, I found out I was unclean and I was undone. He says, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And he said, we are wicked sinners. He said, but oh my, mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He was privileged to see, and it's not just a few more words over that he declares this sign of Emmanuel. It's not too long now that after he is written these things, and then Isaiah, he says, I'm ready to go. Here I am, send me. And so Isaiah, the first thing that we want to look at tonight and look at is that he saw this sign of the virgin birth, and this one that would come a miraculous way, a miraculous birth, and he would be Emmanuel. And the New Testament tells us what Emmanuel means. It means God with us. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He was deity. He was just as much man as he was God. He was just as much God as God, because he was the God-man. And so we find Isaiah saw this, and when he saw it, he spake of it. I dare say if the Lord would reveal to us, and if we'd have been living during Isaiah's time, if we'd been the man of God as Isaiah was, and we saw these things, I probably think we would talk about it. They might call us crazy. They do that anyway. They call us crazy just because we believe it. It surely would have been bad if you'd said, I saw it. It surely would have been bad as far as the people were concerned. And they said, oh, Isaiah, you've lost your mind. You say you've seen a sign. He said, you just write it down. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And his name's Emmanuel. Well, time went on. Isaiah died. All those skeptics died, and time went on. But guess what? That the prophecies of God might be fulfilled. About 700, 750 years after Isaiah saw this and wrote this, there was a young lady named Mary. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost came upon her, and she conceived and bare a son. We hear that during Christmas time. I'll tell you what, it's not just a Christmas story. It's our Savior's story. And so we find that Isaiah saw it and I'm sure was disbelieved. I'm sure they thought he had lost his mind. I'm sure they said, Isaiah, there's something wrong with you. That's an impossibility. They still say that. It's amazing every Christmas season of all the specials that come out on who was Jesus. Well, I don't need... Can't even think of the name of the station and the people. But I don't need TV to tell me who Jesus was. I don't need some documentary that's... The guy's got his collar on backward and he's stuffed like a turkey and he talks in a deep, solid voice and he's very sophisticated. I don't need him to tell me who Jesus or who he think he was. And when he tells me, he has no idea who the Lord was. But I've got a book that tells me who he was. I've got a book that prophesied, and I've got a prophet that when he saw the Lord, he spoke of those things. And he wrote it down, and we have it recorded in our Bible. It's Isaiah 7:14, and a virgin shall conceive, and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. So Isaiah was privileged to see that. The Lord, of course, was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And... We would have never met God. We would never be saved if the Lord had not been born a virgin. Perfect, pure in every action, every way, everything about Him. He did it that we might have life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. Now, Jesus was not a sinner, but He was made sin. Jesus had none of His own sin because He was born of a virgin. He didn't have the Adamic nature. He didn't have a sinful nature. He was God in the flesh. And if He was going to suffer for sin, He'd have to be made sin. And the Scripture says here that He was made sin for us. And it qualifies who He is, who knew no sin. He had no sin. He didn't know sin at all. That we, the sinner, might be made the righteousness of God in Him or in Christ. What a blessed thought it is to know that Jesus came and He was birthed into this world by medium of a virgin. Therefore, had not the nature of man, but He was made sin for us. Voluntarily, Jesus laid His life down. No man took His life from Him. Voluntarily, He laid it down. That we might have life. He was made sin, that I could be made righteous. What a wonderful thought. He was made like a sinner. He died as a sinner. He died as one that was guilty of sin. And they looked at Him and they mocked Him. And they said, oh, He says He can raise the temple up in 3 days, but He can't even save Himself. One of the thieves on the side of the cross said, if you, who you say you are, just get down off the cross, save yourself and us. Now, he's more interested in himself than he was anybody else. And so, Jesus was given that we might be made the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God in Him. But Isaiah saw that sign. Now look over just a little bit in Isaiah chapter number 9. Not only did he see a sign, thank God he saw a son. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now Isaiah makes a difference between a child and a son. You see, all of us have been children, but not all of us were sons. All of us were born a child. And that's what he says here, for unto us a child is born. Every one of us except Christ has been born a child. But you see, the next verse, or the next part of that verse, he says, but unto us a Son is given. You see, Jesus did not become the Son of God. He always was the Son of God. And God gave the Son that we might have life. Isaiah saw that Son. He saw the sign telling about it, and then he writes about this child. The child here that Isaiah saw revealed the humanity of Christ. He was born in a manger. As all other children, he was born and was brought into this world. He was loved and nourished as all babies were. But as a son, Isaiah saw him as the begotten of the Father. He said, before Abraham was, I am. We find that the Scripture tells us that Isaiah saw this sign of what would happen. And now, just a few chapters over, a few verses over, Isaiah says, here's the Son. Here's the one that I was writing about in Isaiah 7:14. Here's the one I was writing about earlier. Now, don't get me wrong, Isaiah didn't... He didn't have a 7:14. He just had his writings. The verses and scriptures, the numbers, they were all put in later to help us to be able to find things. And thank the Lord they did. It'd be hard to find things if we didn't have a reference by it. But when Isaiah wrote his prophecy, when he wrote the scrolls, he didn't have a numbering system. He didn't do all that. But I'm sure he said, not too long ago I wrote down that there'd be a sign from heaven. That one would be born of a virgin and his name would be Emmanuel. And then God inspires him to write here in Isaiah 9 and 6 in our Bible that a son is given, a child is born, and upon his shoulders the government would be. His name, the Bible says here, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Oh, isn't he wonderful tonight? His name will be called Counselor. I know sometimes people put that together, but there is a comma there for a purpose. He is wonderful, and he's a counselor. And we find here that he's the mighty God. Oh, I thought he was a child. I thought he was a son. Oh, but they're one same. You see, Jesus and God, same. Now, Isaiah knew that. He's smarter than some of our professors in Bible colleges today. He knew all that. He said, he's the mighty God. Not only that, he's the everlasting Father. What's always been. Those Jews that were orthodox in their religion, they knew what Isaiah was saying. They knew that this one that was going to be born of a virgin, they knew that this one would be a son that would be given the Son of God. And he would be a mighty, mighty God. And he's the everlasting Father. And then it says he's the Prince of Peace. I'm glad, thank God, he's the Prince of Peace. We find Isaiah saw this. The Son revealed here that he was the begotten of the Father. Jesus prayed, O Father, glorify thou me, thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus himself identifies himself as before the world began. He said, Lord God, give me the glory that I had with you before, that I had before the world was. You see, we may think it, and religions may teach us, and philosophies may tell us, but there was a time when there wasn't any creation. But there never has been a time there wasn't God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus prayed to his Father. He said, Father, give me the glory that I had before the world was. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's very important. That word begotten means He's a unique, He's different. I'm called a child of God. You're called a son of God or a daughter or a child of God. We're called, but we're not the only begotten. That means He's the only one born like He was born. That means He's the only one like Him. That means there's no equal. There's no one that can rise up to that standard. There's no one that can stand up to the place of where Jesus is, because He's the only begotten Son of God. And some of the Bibles that take that out, they just need to understand that's wrong. He's the only begotten. He's the one that's unique in every way. So Isaiah saw a sign. Isaiah saw a son. Now turn over with me one of the most familiar passages in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53. And verse number 1 is quoted in John chapter 12 where we read. Isaiah has given the message of the Lord. And maybe out of frustration, verse number 1, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Is there anybody listening? Is there anybody believing what Isaiah is saying? And so now he writes on a little farther, and he writes as the Spirit of God moved upon him. The Bible says holy men of old spake and wrote as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. So he's already told us there's a sign. He's already said that he's a son. But when you come to Isaiah 53, we find him as a Savior. Isaiah saw him as a Savior. Now it's good that he's a sign, that there's a sign telling us. It's good that he's the Son. But thank God tonight we better be glad that he's our Savior. Isaiah 53, let's just read it. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You know, he's describing that. He's describing the Lord. All those feminine portraits you find about Jesus Christ, just chuck them. Just don't have them. He wasn't feminine. He didn't look like a long-haired, effeminate lady. He was a man of man. And Isaiah said, when we see him, there's no beauty that we would desire him. Now he tells us in verse 3 about his life. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely hath bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Here's the Savior. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. That's a spiritual healing. By his stripes, we are healed. I know all the charismatics, they talk about the stripes of the Lord healing us physically. That's not what that Bible teaches. That verse right there does not teach a physical healing. It teaches a spiritual healing. By his stripes, we are healed. And so we find here that Isaiah is describing him. He says in verse 6, here's where we are. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, where their Lord is Jehovah, God. And Jehovah hath laid on him. Who is it? That son. Who is it? It's this man of sorrows. Jehovah hath laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and judgment, and who hath declared his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Boy, Isaiah puts it down pretty strong about the Savior. It says in verse number 9, and he has made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord, it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Isaiah not only saw a sign that would reveal who Messiah was, he not only saw a son that was given, but I'll tell you right here in our book in chapter 53, he saw a Savior dying for mankind. What did the Gospel of John say? It says when he saw it, he talked of him. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. So he saw a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Bethlehem, Calvary. All those places that Jesus walked. But thank God, he's my Savior. He took my place. The iniquity of us all was laid upon him. He who knew no sin. He was made sin for us. And then Isaiah asked the question here in verse 8, who shall declare his generation? He's been cut off. Who's going to tell everybody about? Who's going to give the message of Isaiah to a lost and dying world? I'll tell you who he is. It's going to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't do it, nobody else will. I believe there was a direct road from the manger of Bethlehem to the cross of Calvary. There wasn't any possibilities of it not happening. There wasn't any way that Jesus tried to get out of it. For you see, Jesus didn't come to start a new nation. He didn't come to raise up an army. He didn't come to satisfy the likings of men. Jesus came to die. And for as he died, he's our Savior. And Isaiah saw that and spoke of him. Now turn back with me just a few pages to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter number 40 and verse number 11. Let's look at verse number 10. Well, we could go all the way back, but we'll start verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his servant is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a, what's the word there? Shepherd. Isaiah saw the Lord. He saw the sign. He saw the Son. He saw the Savior. But here he sees him coming with a strong hand, and he that comes with him, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. What a tender, wonderful shepherd we have. Jesus is declared to us to be the shepherd. He has told to us that he's the good shepherd. And the Bible says he's the great shepherd. He looked over Jerusalem. He looked over Israel. We read this morning, he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. But he was their shepherd. He saw them as scattered. He saw them going to and fro and having no shepherd. And the Bible says he's moved with compassion because of that. And Isaiah saw him as a shepherd. Isaiah saw him as one that would lead his people. I like the words there, his people. I'm glad we belong to Him. We have been handpicked, chosen, given of the Lord. We are in His fold. We are His people. And He feeds His flock. And you know what? They are satisfied. Everything the Lord does for us is very satisfying. Everything that He gives to us is just what ought to be. Everything He does for us is just the way it should be. He gathers His flocks, those that have been hurt by the world and those that have been outcast and those that have been struggling. The Bible says here in verse number 11 that He gathers the lambs with His arms. He carries them in His bosom. Well, that shows a close relationship. He carries them in His bosom. And they shall gently lead those and shall gently lead those that are with young. Aren't you glad tonight that we have a shepherd? Aren't you glad tonight we have someone that protects us. Someone that watches over us. Someone that would go to battle. David was a shepherd. And he said, I've killed a bear and I've killed a lion. He said, I think I can take care of Goliath. He was a He was a man that was a shepherd. Things of David's life so typify our good shepherd, our great shepherd. And so the pitfalls and the snares of life, I'm glad the shepherd can carry us. I'm glad he can pick us up and put us in his arms. I'm glad he can hold us to his bosom. I'm glad he can carry us through the hard places, and where our feet may slip, thank God he can do it. Where we may falter and fail, I'm glad he can hold us by his grace. I'm glad he's the one that's got a hold of my hand. I thank God I don't have a hold of his hand. He's got mine. Because mine slips. Mine will open up. Mine will give out. Mine will be tired. But he never tires. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He doesn't give up. He's my shepherd. And one day, as a shepherd, he's going to gather his flock home to be with him forever. What a wonderful thought. We sung songs tonight talking about going home. We sung songs about meeting over there. And what a glad day that'll be. And so tonight we have a shepherd that he not only saves us, thank God he protects us. He not only gets us out of the murk and the mire, but he keeps us out. And if we happen to fall back in and thank the Lord, he's there to pick us up and clean us up and put us in his arms. Now before we get cleaned up too well, he may chasten us. He said, I told you not to do that, son. I told you shouldn't do that. And he'll chasten his own. But he chastens us because he loves us. Just the same way we chasten our children. Not because we hate them. Now we feel like if we're on the receiving end of it, we feel like mom and dad just don't like me anymore. There's a few times I thought my dad's going to just not like me at all. He didn't like my actions, and he let me know he didn't like them. But you know what? He did that because he loved me. And we do that because we love our children. And God in heaven does that because he loves us. He is that shepherd. I didn't mark this verse, but I want to turn to it. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Verse number 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear. I like the positive words there. When the chief shepherd maybe appears. No. When the chief shepherd might come. Oh no. When the chief shepherd shall. Emphatic shall appear. Ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Here, he does everything for us. He makes it possible. Gives us life. Gives us eternity. Gives us a home on this earth and gives us a home in heaven. He does everything for us, and we sometimes falter and fail and we sin against him. But he still loves us and he takes us to his bosom. He does all those things. And then when he shall appear, he's going to reward us for just doing, being faithful. He's just going to give us reward for us doing what he said. Ye shall receive a crown of glory. I like the last part of that verse. That fadeth not away. Always there. So he saw a shepherd. And lastly, same book, same chapter in Isaiah. We're not going to read all these verses, but from verse number 12 down through verse number 26, Isaiah saw a superior God. He saw a God that was different than all those others. He saw a God that was not like the heathen had. He saw a God that... Look at verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out the heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor that taught him? With whom took he counsel? Who did God have to counsel with? Nobody. He's superior. He says in verse number 14, who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, and it is counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Boy, that shows me our God's pretty good size. He can weigh the mountains. Now some of these little pinheads around here, they think they can. So I read sometime the men estimated that the earth weighed so much. Where's the scale? Where's the balance? But God says, I can do it. Why, he measured the waters in the... You know what the hollow of your hand is? It's that right there. And the Bible says God has measured all the waters in the hollow of his hand. Pretty big God. This earth is covered by, I think, 70% water. God has just measured it right here. Superior God. The nations are a drop of a bucket. We think we're doing something. The world thinks we are coming to a utopia and things one day got to get better. God said, that's just a drop in a bucket. That's nothing. All the nations of the world, they're nothing. He says in verse number 17, all nations before him are as nothing. You know what? That's less than a drop in a bucket. All the nations before him are nothing. And they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. Whew. Boy, we're really high up on God's scale, aren't we? The nations are so important. Well, they're nothing. And he says here that what's less than nothing? Any mathematicians in here? What's less than nothing? I'd like to ask some of those smart guys that. Vanity. Verse 18, to whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman meeteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains, and he that is so impoverished, that hath no oblation, chooseth a tree. He seeketh unto him cunning workmen to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that setteth upon the circle of the earth. You realize, you know history well enough that there was a time in this old world that people thought the world was flat. And God said all time has a circle. And he sets upon the circle of the earth. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Wow, we're important. I don't like grasshoppers. I don't want them on me. I don't want them jumping around on me. I hate grasshoppers. They don't hurt you, they don't bite you, but I hate grasshoppers. And God says, we're just like a grasshopper to him that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as the tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock and take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? I think when Isaiah wrote these things, I would think he would say, I serve a superior God. I serve one that sits on the circle of the earth. And all the inhabitants of the earth are just like grasshoppers running around. And boy, I look at some of the things going on in our world. No wonder the Scripture says, God setteth in the heavens and laughs. You see some of the masses of people that are just doing so many terrible things. I'm talking about masses of people. And God looks upon us as grasshoppers. But Isaiah, he saw these things. And Isaiah told about it. I'm glad we have it written in his book. And now we can tell about it. There was a sign. There is a sign. There was a son. There is a son. There was a Savior. There is a Savior. There was a shepherd, and He's the great shepherd, chief shepherd, coming one day. And we serve a God that's superior to all. Somebody says, oh, they've got a computer that will know everything about mankind, know everything about what we do and where we go and all that. We may have, but you know what? God knows more than that. He doesn't have a computer. God knows how many hair that's upon our head. He's done some subtraction on some of us. He's subtracting me now. I used to talk about mine turned gray, didn't turn loose. I'm not saying any more about that. Because mine turned gray, now it's turned loose. But God is the God of heaven that knows all about us. And Isaiah said, when I saw these things, I spoke of it. May the Lord help us when we see these things to tell the world who our God is, who our Savior is, who our Shepherd is, how He was born, why He was born. All those things are dealing in the life of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the message that we have to tell to a lost and dying world. May God help us to be faithful to Him and do that. When we're unfaithful, I'm glad He can pick us up. He can bring us to His bosom and He can carry us across. Let's stand together tonight.